The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick. Listen to Matt Slick Live. Today's date is June 2nd, 2023 for the podcasters. If you want, you can give me a call, 877-207-2276. You can also email me at info@carm.org. And if you do that, you can email me a comment or a question, and I can try and get to it on the air. And sometimes on Fridays, that's what I have to do, because Fridays are slow. That's how it works. It's been like that for a long time. So I have a lot of questions we can get to, radio questions, and maybe I'll just get right into those. And we can jump in. Like I said, if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. And if you want, you can participate in Clubhouse, and you can just look for, let's see, Matt Slick Live Show. You can look for that. We should put the dates on those. We should put the dates on those. I think it might be good. People know what day certain things happen. Also, we are broadcasting to Rumble. In Rumble, if you go there carm.org? I think it's just carm.org, C-A-R-M-O-R-G. And you'll find the varying sub-channels that we have, and one of them is for this and this show. We broadcast there as well. So a lot of people join in on that, and it's a good time. We have a lot of fellowship in there. So if that sounds good, you can join us there. And also, we are broadcasting on Discord. Not very many people go into Discord, but that's okay. We have more people coming into Clubhouse, and also here in Rumble. So, hey, give me a call if you want, 877-207-2276. And someone says Rumble chat is weird again. I don't know what that's going on with that, but that's okay. All right, we got a caller coming in, and let's see. I'll get to those emails. We got a lot. And don't have any wacko mail. You know, I love the wacko mail. And we just don't have any. We haven't gotten any wacko mail for a while. And hate mail. You know, I love hate mail. You guys know, if you've listened to me, you know how I enjoy hate mail. So if you hate me, write me. Say, man, I hate you. And then tell me why. Okay? Or you can call me stupid. Or you can call me lame or heretic. Whatever you want. I read them over the air. I enjoy it. And I do. And so people who have been listening to me for a while know I get the biggest kick out of stuff. So I do. I have a lot of fun. All right. Hey, why don't we just try this? Let's just get on the air here with Alex from Huntersville, North Carolina. Hey, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. How are you today, sir?
Oh, I am tired, a little melancholy, slightly irritated for some reason. And other than that, I'm okay.
Well, then I maybe should call you tomorrow instead. we spoke yesterday about the language of the Bible. In order to establish the true word. Mm-hmm. Can you hear me?
Yes.
We had spoke yesterday. Excuse me. We spoke about the word God. But the time ran out and you asked me to call you back today.
Sure.
And you asked me, even though we were speaking on a totally different subject, you asked me about chapter 53 of Isaiah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because I'm Hebrew, and of course this chapter is the chapter that most Christians call the suffering servant chapter, and if you would allow me to set a foundation and context for this chapter, I would like to start with a few words that we...
No, I would just rather just tell me what's it about. Just tell me what you believe it's about.
We have to establish, a little foundation.
I don't know what you're going to say. I guard people on the radio show so that heresies and false doctrines aren't taught, okay, unless I can respond to them on the fly. So who do you think it is about? Is it Israel? That's the suffering servant there?
I would first, that words that are in the Bible that are very singular, like the word he, and everything that I'm proposes out of Isaiah, I don't, you know.
I just need the answer. Like the word, what do you think it's about? That's all. I don't need a bigger, but it's just simple. What do you think it is?
It is very simple, but see, it's simple in your opinion, okay? Now, Isaiah has a different opinion, okay, to where Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3.
Okay, look, if you can't, I'm sorry, yeah. But if you can't answer the simple question, we'll just move along, okay? It's a simple question. Who do you think it's about? That's all. It's simple. I don't need a 20-minute explanation.
It is a simple question, but see, the issue is that we weren't speaking of Isaiah 53. Okay. We were speaking about the word
this?
God.
Let me test you. What's 2 plus 2?
4.
Good. You can give simple answers. What's Isaiah 53 about,
yes,
in your opinion?
Okay. Okay, well, I would ask you, who do you say it's about?
Oh, wow.
No, see, the thing is that, you know, we weren't even on this topic, but it's a topic that you think that
so
you
who's
can
it
gain
about?
The, you know, the conversation.
Or what is so, Isaiah 53 about? I'm just asking a simple question.
It's about Yahweh. It's about Yahweh.
What is a Yahweh?
Okay. Yahweh. Yesterday you knew who it was. You called him Yahweh until I told you there's no W in Hebrew.
Okay.
So
okay.
It can't be
so
Yahweh.
It's about God. So you're saying it's about God.
No, it's
right?
Not about God. God is an English German word that has nothing to do with Elohim or the Greek
where
word.
Where are you getting
Theos.
This? Where are you getting this? Seriously, where did you get in this? The word Elohim has nothing to do with God.
Where does the word God come from? Where does the word God come from?
Look, I'm going to tell you something right now, okay? I've been patient with you, but you can't think very critically. You're not a very good thinker. And I'm going to just tell you, you can't sit here and say, what's the word mean? Where did it come from? It's called a genetic fallacy. If the word God came from a German word 500 years ago, if it did, or whatever it is, and you say, see, that's the source of the word in English, it has no bearing on whether or not the word Elohim...
Not 500
okay,
years.
Okay, we're done.
Okay, 500 years.
Okay, that's it. We're just done. So, folks, this guy can't think very critically. He's just not able to deal with the issues. The word Hebrew for God is just Elohim. It's how it's used in the Bible, and it's used elsewhere, too. And if he said this doesn't mean that, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He's just brainwashed. And that's just the way it is, you know? Okay, anyway, I hope you can hear me on Clubhouse. I forgot to check one last setting. I thought I had everything done, but I didn't. What I'm going to do now is just get to some of the mail, because we don't have anybody waiting right now. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's see, Rudder Slick. I am appreciative of the show, and I'm thankful for it. My wife would like to know why tattoos are considered defiling of our temple. However, makeup and piercings are not. Can you please explain and elaborate? I didn't say tattoos were or were not, or piercing is or is not. So one of the things that was understood in the issue of piercing was when a slave of a house would become a bond slave, and they would take their earlobe, put it to the doorpost of the entrance of the house, and pierce it. And it was at that point where that servant slave became a permanent member of that household in that capacity as a servant slave. It means they loved the master, they loved the family, they wanted to stay with them. And it was an honorable position to be in, and that was a piercing process that was done there. Now, tattoos, I forgot whether it is in the Bible, it talks about not making tattoos, but it says for the dead. Now, I don't like tattoos. I reject them. I don't think they're... I can't understand why people do them. I just don't get it. And people have told me, I don't understand it. Why would you want to mark your body for the rest of your life, and it just gets ugly? To me, it's beyond... I just don't get it. Now, but people like to do that. Okay, that's their thing. But I don't... I've written on this, and I can't say that tattoos or piercings are sinful. I wouldn't say that they are. And it was it mean to defile the temple? Well, defiling the temple could be done with food as well, if you want to get as, you know, be precise and say piercings, or you want to say a tattoo. That's defiling the temple. That means you're putting something on it through the skin. Well, what about the chocolate chip cookies you have? Is that defiling the temple because sugar's not good for you? So it's just a lot of things that this is not an easy thing to deal with. So, you know, I've written on this thing about tattoos, and even though I don't approve of them, I don't judge anybody who doesn't do that. or who does it. I have friends who have tattoos, and that's just between them and God. So Leviticus 19:28 says, "You shall not make any cuts in your body for the dead, nor make any tattoos on yourselves. I'm the Lord." Now, if some people want to say, well, the issue of the tattoos is not for the dead, because it does say cuts in the body for the dead, nor make any tattoos, the context is for the dead, where you're doing it for dead people. Okay, should you do that? The Bible says don't, right there. Now, here's the question. Are we under that same law anymore? Because this was for the Jews. And since the theocratic system, so to speak, to use that word, but since it's no longer in effect under a theocracy run by God through the prophets, then does it apply? And I can't say that, yes, it does. I have to say, I don't think so. It does apply, and I don't worry about it. Okay? So there's that. And let's see. Here's some other stuff. It says this. Look, if we're going to be consistent and say that tattoos are sinful in Leviticus 19:28, we'll look at Leviticus 19:26, and I'll read through it. "You shall not eat anything with the blood, nor practice divination or soothsaying. You shall not round off the side growth of your heads, nor harm the edges of your beard." What? Wait a minute. Okay. So now wait a minute. Because the next verse talks about not making tattoos. So if we're going to say we can't have tattoos, and we go to that verse and say we're not to do that, then you should not shave the edges of your beard and the side growth of your heads, which means let the side of your hair grow. If we're going to be consistent, do not profane your daughter by making her get into harlots and stuff like that. Okay, so there's a thing. We have to be consistent. We can't pick and choose. If we're going to say that's defiling the body, then what is defiling the body? And the way to do that would be go to the New Testament. And the defiling generally is referred to those things that come out of the body. Hatred, mockery, contempt, things like that. So this is a tough one. Now, there are things that defile the body in, you know, drug use is clearly condemned in Scripture, fornication and things like this. So, you see, it's not just a simple, easy question. It's just not easy, okay? And I hope that helps. All right, let's get to Joseph from Louisiana. Joseph, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt.
Hi.
I called yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And our discussion was, why should I believe Jesus is God? Or
because
should
he is
I
God.
Believe? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what you said yesterday. Mm-hmm. But I can't find that in Acts.
You can't find what in Acts?
That Jesus is God.
Why does it have to be the book of Acts?
Well, that's just the one I'm open to and looking at, reading.
Okay.
It.
Go to Acts 20:28.
Acts 20:28?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are you in the King James or what?
Oh, no. No, no. I'm in the 2020.
The 2020. What's that? The NASB 2020?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Good.
NASB 2020.
Yeah, I like that. That's good. All right. So the NASB
2020. But this is in chapter 1. Okay,
well, 20. You said in 20. Acts. I'm showing you. Look at Acts 20:28. I'll show you.
Acts 2028.
Right. Yeah, we got a break coming up. So hold on. Take a
all
look
right.
at that
I'm
verse
right there.
And see what it says. Okay, we'll be right back, folks, after these messages. Please stay tuned. We have four open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get back on here with Joseph. All right, Joseph, did you take a look at Acts 20:28?
Yes, I'm looking at it now. It's be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood.
So wait a minute. The church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. So God purchased a church with his own blood?
Yeah, Jesus is the Son of God.
No, wait. Is Jesus God?
No.
Then how could God purchase the church with his own blood if Jesus is not God?
By his Son.
Okay. Is the Son his own blood?
Yes.
How's it his own blood? The Father doesn't have blood.
But Mary gave birth to his child.
Okay. Think. Does God the Father have blood?
No.
Is Jesus God?
No.
How could God purchase the church with his own blood if he's not,
having
not God?
By having a baby born.
So God had a baby.
He had Mary conceive a child.
So
yes.
Is what you say Jesus is not God, and God says he purchased it with his own blood, not the blood of somebody else, but his own.
But that's his son. His son.
Okay,
is
I
his
got
own
that.
Blood.
I got that. Look, I have children, okay? And I have three daughters, and I've lost two sons, but I have three daughters, all right? So, she's my child. If we're to take the blood of my child, is that blood of my, say my youngest daughter, let's just say, we got a vial full of her blood in a blood draw. Is that my blood? Or is it hers?
In a sense, it's hers, but it's yours.
Okay. You can't think. Okay, you can't think. You're not a good thinker. The problem you have here is that you don't believe the truth, and therefore your answers are convoluted because you're trying to twist truth into what you want it to be. And so your answers make no sense. God says he purchased a church with his own blood, and you say Jesus is not God, and Jesus is the one who purchased the church. Then how could it be that God did it? You see, because it's his son. But his son is not him. You admit. So how's it his own blood?
Okay. Jesus said that he is flesh and bone. A spirit does not have flesh and bone.
Yeah, John 4:24. That's right, speaking of God. I get it. Jesus says flesh and blood does not have spirit does not have flesh and bones. See, I have Luke 24:39. I understand that. So you're saying that Jesus is the one who died on the cross, but God says he purchased the blood with his own, the church with his own blood. This makes sense if you're Trinitarian. This makes sense if Jesus is God in flesh. But you deny that. So your answers make no sense.
That Jesus, that God's son, that God can't say that he is my blood?
Does he ever say that in Scripture?
It's kind of evident.
Does he say it in Scripture?
It's evident that Jesus is his blood. It's his son.
Does he say that in his script in the Scriptures anywhere? I'm not interested in you making things up to make it fit. That's what you're doing. You're making up stuff. You're making it up as you go. It doesn't say it in the Scripture. If it's not in the Scriptures, it doesn't say it like that, then don't say it. Don't make a false case. Don't make a false case. That's what you're doing. You're twisting God's word to make
it. I just read it.
You didn't?
I just read it to you.
Read what?
He purchased with his own blood.
Yes, God purchased with his own blood. Who was the one? Who's in reference to the blood? Whose blood is that?
The blood of Jesus.
The blood of Jesus.
The blood of Jesus.
Good. God purchased it with his own blood. Is Jesus God? You say no. Then how can God purchase the church with his own blood if Jesus is not God, according to you?
Because God can do anything
he can't.
Wants to do.
No. Okay, that he wants to do. You just say the same thing the Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses and the Catholics say. He can do whatever he wants. You just make it up. I'll just make it up as I go. He can do whatever he wants. Show me in the Scriptures where it says what you're saying. You can't.
It's in Acts chapter 20. You just had me read it.
Dude, God says he does it with his own blood. His own. Where's God's own blood? Where is it that God has his own blood? Where is that?
In his Son, Jesus.
God the Father is not the Son, according to, is not God, right?
God the Father is God.
Okay. Yeah, and you say Jesus is not God. So how did the Father purchase the church with his own blood, since he doesn't have blood?
He sacrificed it. He spilled it.
So
the blood
God the Father,
of the Son.
God the Father shed his own blood?
His Son.
Did he shed his own?
He sacrificed his Son. The blood of Jesus.
Did he shed his own blood? Did God the Father shed his own blood?
It was the blood of Jesus.
Okay, I asked, did he shed his own blood?
Yeah, his Son is his own blood.
Okay, so God the Father, does God the Father have blood?
God the Father is the Spirit, no blood.
Okay, I didn't ask if he's Spirit. Does God the Father have blood?
In his Son, yes.
Does he have blood? Does the Father have blood? Okay.
I thought I just explained it.
Okay, does the God the Father have blood? Okay, does he have blood?
By his Son, yes.
Okay, so God the Father has his own blood? What is his own blood?
The blood of Jesus.
So Jesus is his own blood?
Yeah, Mary had the baby.
You couldn't think your way out of a wet paper bag if it was greased. There was a chain attached to you. The bag was 45 degrees angled down. You had gravity and a weight on the end of the chain, and there's a neon light pointing the way out. Okay? You still wouldn't make it. You can't think. This is what happens. Your mind is trashed by your bad theology.
I'm just reading what's written in Acts chapter 20.
Yes. Yeah, God purchased it with his own blood. Jesus is God in flesh. Problem solved. But
Jesus is not God in flesh.
Yes, he is. The Bible says he is. It does.
That's not what happened. That's not what God said when John baptized Jesus.
Okay. So I remember asking you questions and doing stuff here, and you're not able to deal with the questions. I asked you, how can Jesus and the Father both indwell people? Jesus says the Father and he will come and make their abode in you. If Jesus is not God, how does he live inside of everybody?
Jesus is in heaven, last time I read.
You didn't answer my question. You repeatedly ignore my questions. We got another break, so hold on. Be right back, folks. After these messages, this is unfortunately kind of typical of what I have to do sometimes with people. It's just, you know, amazing, isn't it? Hey, we'll be right back. For Open Lines, 877-207-2276.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Man, I got to stop reading the text because right when I got to talk, someone says something made me laugh. Mr. Bill says, this caller's what Brian Regan is talking about, stupid kid in school. Man. See, I gotta watch that, right? Because I don't see it's like a spit take at the last second, you know? Oh, man. All right, sorry about that, but let's get back on here. Joseph, are you still there?
Yes, Matt, I'm still here. I'm looking at chapter 20.
Chapter what?
Chapter 20. That's where you told me to turn in the book of Acts.
I did, and it says God purchased a church with his own blood, not the blood of somebody else. Own blood means it's not somebody else's blood. And you say it's somebody else's blood. And so you're just wrong. I just proved it.
And
you wanted the book of Acts. I showed it to you.
You have sons and daughters, and they're all your blood, man.
No, they're not. No, they're in a different sense. Is in a different sense of my blood. As that's just a colloquial term for family. That's not what's going on here. God said he purchased it. You're talking about the death of Christ on the cross. He purchased it with his own blood. That's what it says.
Yeah, Jesus was his son.
You deny it.
That's his own blood. No,
you deny
Jesus.
So let me ask
Jesus,
you. Yeah, look, you just deny it. Okay, it's all you. It's obvious. Okay, now what do you do with Hebrews 1:8, where it says, where God's speaking, and he says, but of the Son, he says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. So God the Father is calling the Son God. What do you do with that?
If God wants to call his Son God, I'm going to let him do it.
Well, then, is what God said true?
If God calls his Son God, yeah, it had to
then,
be true.
Then it's
it?
True. Then Jesus is God? Right?
No, he's his Son.
Wait. Are you calling God the Father a liar?
No, he said he's my Son.
Yeah, see, but the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. So the Father calls the Son God. Do you believe what the Father said is true?
Yes.
Then if you
God
say yes, you believe
lie,
the Son.
If God doesn't lie,
then Jesus is God.
You know it has to be true.
So the Father, that's what he's talking about. Well, the Son, he says, your throne, O God. So Jesus is God, right?
When John baptized Jesus, God.
Wait. We're looking at Hebrews 1:8. I'm showing you the verse where God the Father is calling Jesus God. Okay, Hebrews 1:8. So,
yeah.
Questions. Does God the Father lie? Of course not. Is he telling the truth?
Of course he is.
He calls the Son God. Yes, he does. Therefore, can we say that Jesus is God if God the Father calls him God?
Yes.
Well, then he's God, and you say he's not.
Well, we're gods.
What?
According to Jesus.
We're gods. You're a little God? Is that what you're saying?
According to Psalms 82.
Psalm 82 is an imprecatory psalm against the unrighteous judges of Israel. It's a mockery. It's a condemnation. It's called an imprecatory psalm. Imprecatory psalms are the psalms where the psalmist wishes harm upon someone. And there's a lot of psalms like that. Judge them, God. Get them. Discipline them. That's why it says in the last verse of that psalm, it says, nevertheless, you will die like men. So when Jesus is quoting it to the Pharisees, he's accusing them of being similar to the unrighteous judges. He's not calling them gods. He's playing it's a double entendre kind of a thing where he's talking with them. Okay? So,
it looked like
notice what Hebrews 1:8 says. Look what Hebrews 1:8 says. But your throne...
Hebrews 1:8.
Your throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the righteous scepter is a scepter of his kingdom. So the Son has a kingdom. What's the kingdom that Jesus has?
His Father's kingdom.
Okay, so it's not talking about people now, is it? And we can't take the word here and apply it to a bunch of different people because the text is specific about the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the king. He's called God by the Father, and you deny it.
Hebrews chapter 1.
That's right. And it says in verse 6.
I can read it.
It says, let all the angels of God worship him. Oh, God's saying, you're supposed to worship Jesus? Do you worship Jesus?
That's what God said when he exalted him and brought him to heaven.
Do you worship Jesus?
I worship God.
I didn't ask that. Okay, I asked you a very specific question. Do you worship Jesus?
I'm not an angel, Matt.
Okay. Well, they worship Jesus. Matthew 2, 2, 2, 11, 14, 33, 28, 9, John 9, 35, 38, Hebrews 1, 6. So people worshiped him. Okay. I don't think you understand what the scriptures teach.
Okay. Jesus said, Father seeks worshipers. Didn't he?
Okay. So, yeah, and Jesus is worshipped. Matthew 2, 2, 2, 11, 14, 33, 28, 9, John 9, 35, 38, Hebrews 1, 6. Those are the verses where he's worshipped.
Yeah, okay. He's worshipped now, by angels.
Let's get one more thing.
The Son. Is that right or wrong?
Let's do one thing here. So if Jesus is not God, how can he indwell people, indwell believers? Jesus does that. How can you do that? Okay, John 14:20.
Jesus is sitting in heaven with God, doing things in a temple, Matt. He's not down here.
Okay, I asked you, how can Jesus indwell people if he's not God? John 14:23, the Father and I will come and make our abode with you. But how does he do that? He's saying he will live in you the same as the Father does. How's that possible?
He said he's going to live with me. I can sit with him and okay. eat at a table with Abraham, okay. Isaac, and Jacob.
Okay. So, look, Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. How's yes. Jesus able to make his abode with you if he's not God in flesh? How's that work?
God is going to send Jesus. He'll be here for a while, and at the end, God's going to settle.
I didn't ask
I'm telling you how it's going to happen, though.
No, you know what? Jesus, does God the Father indwell his believers?
His spirit does.
Okay. We're going to move along. Okay. So thanks for demonstrating what not to do and how not to think about things. I'm not trying to be mean, but you really are working hard to damn yourself by denying who Christ is. Trying to help you, you continually reject the Word of God. So it's unfortunate. You need to repent, buddy. All right, let's get to John from Dallas, Texas. John, welcome. You're on the air.
What's up, Matt? How are you, buddy?
Doing all right. Hanging in there. What do you got?
I joined in on like a morning sermon and stuff like that a couple of months ago, and the guy was really nice. He was a preacher, and he was telling us that demons don't really go to like nightclubs and bars and stuff like that. I thought that was pretty interesting. I was like, shouldn't demons be by bars and stuff? He said no, because these things go after people who aren't there. The demons' job are to be sure that they're at those places to keep them full. I said, oh, all right. I was just curious if you kind of agree with that.
No, that's not very good thinking, not logical. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, demonic forces would want people to do those kinds of things. Now, just going to a bar doesn't mean you're evil, but there are things that happen in some of these bars that are illicit, and demonic forces would certainly be there. Okay.
Mm-hmm. But the thing that he said that kind of caught my attention was, let's go after the people that aren't there and try to put whispers in their ears and try to get them there to fill those areas up, you know? I said, that's the part that got me, you know?
Going to a bar doesn't make you evil.
I get his point, though. You know, nightclubs and all these things where bad things are happening, people are drinking alcohol, they're forgetting about the Lord, you know?
Yeah. Do you have any other questions?
No, it was just that. Thanks for listening to me.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks. Thanks for calling.
All right, buddy. You have a very good weekend.
You too. Thanks. All right. Let's get to Nathan from California. Nathan, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you doing? I'm new to this, so we can talk about anything I want, right? Well, pretty much.
Right.
But one of the things I wanted to bring up, I have the ultimate question we have to ask ourselves as a nation. Why are we not learning? What's preventing us from learning how to create true governments of the people? And I think one of my observations, anyway, and I think it's a major part of it, it's not the solution, but it's a major part of the problem, is we have people that get in office and stay in for too long. I mean, not to pick on Biden, he's been 50 years in office.
I would agree. And they're ungodly. They don't believe in the Constitution. They take kickbacks or take bribes, a lot of them. And they're there for their own benefit, not the benefit of the people. And when you get the Marxist socialists in, like is in power in so many places, then the country goes to pot just like it is right now. And hey, Nathan, hold on. We got a break, okay? We'll be right back, folks. Four open lines. Give me a call, and we'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call, we have four open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be... I'm reading while I'm talking. Let's get back to Nathan from California. Nathan, welcome. You're on the air.
Yeah, we're back. Good. Okay. Yeah. Well, one of the things I've observed, and one of the things that might be a solution, and, you know, because one of our founding, well, Thomas Jefferson, something, one of the things that he experienced when he was the French ambassador, or equivalent, he wasn't in the country. When he got back, he was very angry. And one of the things he said was, and this is almost kind of paraphrasing, I probably could, it's not exact words, is, I apprehend the total abandonment of the principles of rotation in our Constitution will end in abuse. Now, he was referring to the offices of the president and the senator mm-hmm. back at the time. But to bring it up to date, I think we should expand that to anybody, you know, and now this is definitely paraphrasing what Thomas Jefferson would say. Those who govern after a number of years of governing must be incapable of re-election or appointment to any government office that will affect the people's liberties and freedoms until they've spent a number of years living as the government, not the governors. Do you kind of get what that would do?
Yeah, no, hold on. So this is a talk show, and we do theology and stuff like that, and I'm with you. I have I agree with you. I think those are good ideas. So let me ask you, did you have a question at all?
Like I said, I'm new to the show. I didn't know exactly what the show was about.
That's all right.
Since I find that there's a religious thing on this, and I know that this wasn't in the Bible, but God helps those who help themselves.
Yeah, that's not scripture,
right? If we were to amend our Constitution with rotation, where a person would get in office, and after they'd been in a while, couldn't run for office, couldn't get appointed, and no paid lobbying, none of this revolving door stuff. Get out and say, what are you going to do after you get out?
I agree with you. So how are we going to do that? I understand. I gotcha. I agree. That needs to have term limits and things like that. Yeah. So, but
it's not only a term limit, because it's kind of related, but a term limit, it allows them to run for other offices or get appointed to offices.
It's like, I understand. It's like term limits. We want to be able to have them limited in many ways. And I agree with what you're saying. But, okay, now what? How do we get that going?
Well, a lot of people, 85% of this country, when asked about term limits, want to say, yes, we amend the Constitution with term limits.
And we can't. You know why they can't?
I understand that term limits aren't the solution. It's actually...
I understand, but one thing at a time. I get it. One thing at a time. But see, because the bad people are in power, they do evil things, they pardon themselves, they put protection on themselves. This is what happened in the Roman Empire. Same thing. And they started raiding the treasure chest, passing laws exempting themselves from it, separating themselves, until the nation became corrupt and were in trouble. So I agree with you.
I just think if people would start thinking like our founders and say really understand,
they don't.
Part of the reason, but
they don't, because they're being brainwashed. They're being brainwashed by the schools and the leftist media. The leftist media, the leftist schools, the leftist social media also. They put disinformation warnings on conservative comments and things like that. We are in such bad shape. Okay, let me ask you, are you a Christian by any chance?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good. What church do you go to? Just curious.
I haven't been going to a church recently. There's nothing that I've been going to. I haven't gone to a church recently.
Well,
I'm trying to concentrate on trying to understand what's happening in our country and thinking about, are we the people intelligent enough, if given the opportunity, if we would amend the Constitution with something that says, hey, you know, after you've been in a while, you got to get out and get experience living under the laws and regulations.
If I understand.
It wouldn't stop all the stuff, but we wouldn't have, there would still be people like the Dingell family that have held the senatorial seat for over almost 90 years.
Yeah, Nathan, I understand. I understand. This is a show about solutions, and I understand there's a problem. But how do we implement? How do we implement these things? This one needs to happen, and I agree with you. But there's a reality: the corruption in our government in the high places. They're so corrupt. So what are we going to do? Yeah, we got
to
pray. But we're going
to
move along because we got callers waiting. Okay, we're going to move along because we have callers waiting.
I'll let you
call back again.
It's going to take more than prayer. I appreciate your time.
I agree.
Thank you.
All right. It takes more than prayer. Prayer and doing. I'm with you. Let's get to Carl from North Carolina. Carl, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Matt?
Doing all right. Hanging in there.
Got a quick... Yeah, good, good. Got a quick question for you, Matt. I don't know if you can explain it in a couple minutes or not, because I'm kind of running behind schedule for work. But I do have a question about original sin and the impartation of the sin.
Wait, I missed you. I missed something. You said original sin and then I missed it. What was it?
Yeah. Original sin, which I understand that is the nature. So where does imparted sin come from? Is that, I know actual sin flow from original sin. So how would you distinguish imparted sin? I know when Adam fell, of course, the nature was spread to all men, right? According to Romans 5:12.
Wait, let me jump in and give you an answer. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. It's called imputed sin. So there's a doctrine called federal impute, to reckon to another's account legally. So there's a doctrine called federal headship. Federal headship is the teaching that the male represents a descendant, not the female. Very important doctrine.
Right.
And it needs to be taught from pulpits all across America. So Adam's sin became our sin. So as Romans 5:19, for as through one man's disobedience the many were made sinners. Through his disobedience, Adam sinned, the many were made. It means it happened to us. It doesn't say they then sinned, and then it would be our action, but it's passive in that it happened to us. We were made sinners by Adam's sin.
Okay? That's right.
That's where it is.
Yeah, right. I'm with you. I'm with you 1,000% on that. I was just trying to see if there was a distinction between original sin and the imputation of sin.
Yes,
so I understand that the nature. I understand that the nature is original sin. Is that right, or is that not right?
No, no. The nature is just fallenness, or by nature, children of wrath. Ephesians 2:3. The original sin is the sin that Adam did. That's the original sin. And then the imputation of his sin too.
Wasn't that nature passed on to all men, though?
Yes, but you're talking about sin. Sin is different than nature. They're different topics.
Gotcha.
They're related.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about the legal aspect of sin and Adam's representation of us in federal headship. This is why it says in 1 Corinthians 15:22, in Adam all die. In Adam is a term of federal headship. And Romans 5:18, through one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. Through one transgression, there resulted condemnation to all men, because Adam represented us. So the nature is different than the sin. Okay? So
Okay, I see your point. Gotcha.
All right.
So it's the nature, and then what proceeds from that is actual sin. This is what
people
commit as a result of the nature.
That's right. Very good. So we commit sin because our nature is sinful. And we fell because of Adam's sin, and Adam's sin is imputed to us. So people say, well, that's not fair. They reject it. To be consistent, they must reject the idea of our sin becoming Christ's imputed to him. Because he's called them.
So that's why we must be born again, because we need a new nature.
Not really. You're on the right track. We don't have a new nature in the sense that we're no longer human in our nature. But we have the.
What
born
I mean
again.
By that is in 2 Corinthians. I think it is
5:17. 5:17, made new creatures. Yes, yes, but he's not talking about an ontological. I'm more precise than a lot of people. So the nature is still human. It's just that we're now born again. We're indwelt by God. We're regenerated. All right. So that's what's going on.
Right.
Okay. All right.
That's right. All right. Thanks, sir.
Okay, buddy. God bless, man. All right. All right, let's get to Chuck from Burlington, North Carolina. Welcome, you're on the air.
Howdy, Matt. Great show, and you do a great, great job.
Well, if you say so. So what do you got?
Yep, I'm the boss. No. Excuse me. I believe the Trinity dwells all believers. Is that true?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was my question. And I want to say this. When you gave that explanation to the Roman Catholics about a month ago about how to be saved, you did at the beginning of your show, it was fabulous.
Oh, well, good. Yeah. Praise God.
Well, yep. Amen. Praise God.
Okay.
Okay, well, Matt. Thank you.
Okay. Well, God bless, buddy. Thanks a lot. All right. We have nobody waiting. So, oh, by the way, Deli Fry, thanks for the $10 rant in Rumble. We appreciate that. Cool. That helps. Thank you very much. Also, I keep forgetting to do this. I got to remember that we're having a Japan tour. We're actually going to go to Japan. There's a Christian history in Japan. People might think, no, not at all. But, oh, yes, there is. The Japanese around 300 years ago, I don't know the exact dates, killed a lot of Christians. They were becoming Christians, and they killed hundreds of thousands and wiped Christianity out. Now there's only like 1% at the most, 2% Christians in Japan. Really interesting. And guess which city crucified a bunch of Christians in Japan? Nagasaki. Interesting. So what we're going to be doing is going there, and we know a guy, and he speaks Japanese. He lives there. He's American, and he runs a tour thing, and we're going to be going there in November. So if you're interested in checking it out, maybe you might want to join. We're going to do an 8-day tour, going through stuff. I'll be teaching and preaching along the way, and we're going to see a lot of sights and really enjoy it. All you're going to do, go to CARM and just type in Japan tour in the search engine, and you'll find it right there, and all the information you need is right there. It's simple. And we're going to be doing a Europe tour next year, and that'll be Footsteps of Paul tour. Bridge Ministries, we're going to be going with them and some other stuff, but that's another thing. So, but the Japan tour, check it out, okay? Check it out, because it's going to be fun. I've never been there. I want to go to Japan, and it's going to be great. It's going to be great. So Japan tour, go there, go to carm.org, check it out, and all the information you need is right there, the contact information and everything. I hope you all have a good weekend, and by God's grace, Lord willing, we'll be back on the air on Monday, and hopefully it'll be a great show then. And may you be blessed. I hope you have a great weekend, folks. God bless everybody. Talk to you later.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.